Greg with Life Care Counseling, and I'm going to talk to you a little bit today about why counseling works and how it works. So in order to talk about this, we first have to talk about a field of study called epigenetics. Epigenetics is a function in our genes where our genes can turn on and off how they are expressed, so they can be expressed or not be expressed. And this function turns on and off based on the experiences that we have. So not all of our genes are like this, but we have quite a few that are like this. And what happens is whenever we have certain experiences that will turn on certain genes and turn off certain genes. So this is more like a survival mechanism, or a way that we kind of customize the way that our body and our brain might react to certain things. So this can actually be adaptive in some ways. For example, if we're posed with a consistent threat, you know, I might learn that, you know, whenever people walk a certain way or whenever people behave a certain way, that I might want to give them a wide berth, or I might want to be very careful of them, or I might want to keep my eye on them. Or certain animals, like if I've had poor experiences with cats or dogs, I might be more prone to being on alert or wary of them whenever they get close. Our genes, especially in an extremely potent situation such as trauma, will express themselves in such a way that there's almost an imprint from this trauma or these incidents that happen. And this can be all kinds of different things. And the challenge is that in our society today, it actually becomes more maladaptive for us. Meaning that if I get into like a car accident, and that means that my body, my brain, they're more likely to kind of go haywire. They're more likely to go into my stress response whenever I am in a car, or I'm driving or riding. This becomes a pretty difficult thing considering how often cars are used, especially here in America. So for us, the cool thing about epigenetics is that it can work both ways. So I may have a genetic predisposition towards anxiety because one of my parents or both my parents have anxiety issues. So I would be more likely to inherit those issues as well. And what this would mean with epigenetics is that I could actually go in and flip on or off certain genes that would allow me to experience less anxiety. Now you can only do this by having new and creating new experiences. And the challenge is that a lot of times it's a loop, right? It's a circular loop. So whenever we are in an anxious situation and bad things happen, that anxiety gets reinforced. So only by having a different situation, by experiencing anxiety and getting through the situation successfully, or being able to navigate it and having a really good outcome, will that start to weaken that bond? And in a lot of circumstances, when this happens over and over and over and over again, then we can experience a change in the way that our genetics will manifest in an epigenetic way, where we will be less prone to anxiety in the future. And that is the whole goal of counseling, is to change the way that we perceive, the way that we experience, the way that we think about and categorize and talk about and understand the experiences that we have. And it also works in such a deep level. Like I said, it actually works on our genetic level, genetically. Whenever we start to feel heard and understood, and we can dip into some of these experiences that we've had, and we can actually have a different experience with it. So kind of rewinding back to the car accident, if I can dip into that experience whenever I'm with someone, and I could experience some of that anxiety, some of that fear that went into that situation, and I can get through it and be okay, and I can do that, then I'm more likely to experience a new type of reaction to that. And that new type of reaction can start to lead to some of that change in the genes that we are looking for. So this is something that we didn't always know about counseling. This is something that has just been discovered within the past probably 10, 20 years, I'd say. And don't quote me on that. I could be wrong. I do have some research that is linked in this article, though, as you go and read down And they might talk a little more about the history of that. And I also have an article linked to talk more about epigenetics if you're interested and you want to learn more about that as well, since I talked about it in a very rudimentary way. But for us, whenever we go into counseling, and there is something about whenever we are able to speak, we're able to use words to describe the experiences that we have. One, with that, we are using different parts of our brain. Whenever we are starting to think about the words that we're going to say and we're actually speaking them out. And then, of course, the full loop happens whenever we can line up how we are speaking about it. We're lining up our tone and our body language. So, like, we ourselves are all completely in sync with the message that we're conveying. And then whenever we convey that, the person that we're talking to, they're able to receive it, hear it, and they are able to recursively talk to us about what it is that they heard us say, clarify it. And whenever we hear that, that completely starts to help us understand it from a completely different way. It helps our brain be able to process it in a new type of way. Does that mean that talking will solve all your problems and get through all the challenges that you have? No. What it does mean is that it will allow your brain to process through and experience situations differently. Now, I realize I keep on saying that. Why is that such a big deal to process through and experience different situations, different challenges differently? The reason is that whenever we go through a situation or maybe a challenge, our brain, which is a thought-forming machine, is also a problem-solving machine of sorts. So even if we are not thinking about a problem or a worry that we have, our unconscious brain is. Have you ever had one of those experiences where you're trying to do math and you can't figure it out, then an hour or so later, all of a sudden the answer pops into your head? Or you may have had this with some other thing other than math. You're trying to remember a movie, and then you're like, whatever, I can't remember it, so I stop thinking about it, and then later on it just pops into your head. That's because unconsciously your brain is still trying to work it out. It's still trying to figure it out. So for us, our brain is always trying to figure out these problems or these challenges that we have, whether or not we're aware of it on a conscious level or an unconscious level. So for us, whenever we start to process through different experiences that we have, what that means is our brain can kind of settle the matter. It does not have to think about it any longer. It has experienced it fully. It has experienced it differently. It understands it from a lot of different angles. It can put that book away and back on the shelf, and it knows where to find it later. It does not have to sit there and continue to think about it. So this is a very fine line, because or it's a very nice place where a lot of people experience relief, because all of a sudden this weight is lifted off them. And a lot of times they don't even realize this weight that they've been carrying around, because not only does it impact their conscious mind every once in a while, of course, as we become aware of these things, but because it's just been in the back, it's on the back burners in our unconscious mind, where our unconscious mind is trying to figure it out. So whenever we talk about these things with someone and that other person, so this is the key thing, and this is one of the things that counselors do well, and this is one of the reasons why it works as well, is that counselors, whenever they're able to tune in and to hear what it is that you're talking about with your experiences, they will understand, they're able to clarify, and they are able to be there for you whenever you're going through that experience, when you're explaining it to them, then for you in those moments, not only are you getting the processing of being able to explain it and then hear it from them so you know and you can feel like you're fully understood, but if it's an extreme event or something that you're going through and you're able to talk to someone about it and you know that they're there with you, if your nervous system starts really getting ramped up and it's someone that you know and trust, which is what you normally do with a counselor, is as you get to know them, you talk with them, you become to know them more and to trust them more and to have a sense of safety with them, your nervous system, as it starts to climb and as it starts to escalate, it will actually tap into your counselor's nervous system and it will help regulate itself. Because once you look to the person next to you and you see that they're okay, it gives you a sense that you're going to be okay too. So we as human beings, we're built to talk and to share with one another, you know, one another. excuse me. And in our society, it's not always promoted that way. I know, especially me as a male, I have not been raised in such a way where it's been okay to talk about things. I know there's other people that have also gone through those type of experiences. So I'm not saying that it's easy to talk about some of the things that are going on. Like I said, we kind of have a cultural bias against it, but our brain is designed to do that, and it's trying to figure it out. And it's kind of like that saying that two heads are better than one in some ways, because the more and more processing power that you have with your brain, so you're using your brain to talk about things and listen to experiences that you're having and reflect and think and offering different perspectives, it gives it more processing power, gives it more ability to be able to start to crunch some of the experiences that you're having and understand them. So just to kind of give you even a little bit of an idea that some of the experiences that we have, especially when we're talking about extremely emotional experiences, those are huge pieces of information. So anyone that knows anything about computers, you kind of know that the bigger your hard drive or the more memory that you have in your computer, that a lot of times it can perform better, it can store more information. And a lot of times what ends up happening is the more and more stressed or the more and more emotional situation that we have, that takes more memory, that takes more data, it takes more processing power to be able to handle. And our brain will shut down whenever something is extremely intense or emotional. So that creates a really hard thing for us to be able to go through or experience and process and kind of really put something to bed, really settle something, because as it goes off the wires, as it starts to go into that stress response, as it tries to handle that huge piece of information and shuts off, that means it's just kind of left undone. So being able to talk to somebody about it and being able to be there so that that other person can help regulate you, and so that they can help be there for you to keep you calm and collected so you could fully get through that experience with them, and also have a different experience by talking about it and by experiencing someone else being there with you through that experience, then it creates a completely new type of perspective that you have. It creates a completely new type of experience that allows your body to have a different way of dealing with it. It allows your genes to then start to turn on and off to have a different type of response more consistently. So I've kind of used this word a couple times too. So in talking about how therapy helps, there it also bears to mention the different type of perspective that you get. So for example, one of the things that I really specialize in is marriage counseling and couples counseling. And having someone that is on the outside of the experience that you are going in to as a third party, so to speak, is astronomically helpful, because they aren't caught up in the situation that you're in. They don't have any stake in it. And so they are able to fully listen to and understand what it is that you're going through without any preconceived conditions. Your counselor doesn't know all the aspects of your life except the parts that you talk with them about. So that allows them to approach you from a more of a non-judgmental and an understanding way, whereas family or friends, they don't always have that option, right? We have tons of experience with our family and friends that gives us they already have a certain type of flavor for you, so to speak. And in a professional setting like counseling, they're able to help you explore those situations very differently. They're able to ask you different types of questions that maybe give you different types of insights to things and present you different options. And because it's in a non-judgmental, a non-threatening, and it's in an atmosphere where you can feel safe and you don't have to be defensive or anything, it allows you to consider and to look into more options than you would have if you're talking to someone else that you may know. Now, I'm not saying that talking to family and friends isn't good. That's not what I'm implying. I'm implying that talking to family and friends is different than talking to a counselor. It's still helpful to talk to family and friends about things. It's always helpful to talk about things rather than not talk about things. Because like I said, the brain is geared towards that. It doesn't take us very long to look at solitary confinement to realize how harmful it is for a human being not to talk about things that are going on and not to speak to things that are on their mind. Another thing with perspective is, and I think I talk about this in the article that I write a little bit lower, is the placebo effect. So if we have any worries or wonders how powerful perception is, then we just have to look at the placebo effect and how pungent it is. And it's a, you know, basically any type of clinical trials that you're doing, especially medication, you always have a placebo effect to measure whether or not that's actually happening, or if it's a, it's just the perception of the medication working that's actually helping. And that being said, we can induce a type of perspective on ourselves that, if not challenged by someone, if you don't have someone that's beside you and that's able to support you and helping you see how that perspective might not be true, then you'll just kind of keep on going for the course, which creates a really tricky situation. So having that outside person that's able to look at it and kind of go into the situation with you, being able to be beside you and some of the experiences that you're having, be able to explore them with you and being able to ask you different type of questions and kind of really be curious about some of the things that you're going through, can really help you start to dive into some of the experiences that you're having and look at different ways of being able to handle or different, try different things. And it really creates a more creative space for you and a more okay space for you to try new things. So, like I said, I know that it's hard, the idea of going and talking to someone about the problems or the challenges that you're going through, and the idea of, it's just talk therapy, like how can that be helpful? And the research is there. And the way that our brain is formed, it's there. Now, I'm not going to say that, like I said earlier, it doesn't mean that it makes everything easy and hunky-dory or anything. And I actually want to tell a little story. So this is actually a story that I read about, and I wanted to share it because I felt like it was just, I felt like it's really true. And I might botch the story a little bit, so let me, so forgive me up front. So the story is that, going to counseling is like, you know, you're driving through, you know, on a road trip and your car breaks down. And instead of going to a mechanic, you actually end up calling a mechanic. And the mechanic, instead of showing up there to fix your car, is actually talking with you on the phone and asking you questions about, like, hey, what's wrong with the car? Like, hey, I think that maybe it's this. You try doing this. That may be helpful. And so you try replacing things, or you try tweaking things or changing things while you're on the phone with a mechanic, and you're describing to them what's going on or what's happening every time that you do or change different things. And you might not get the car running right away, but eventually you do get it running. And the important thing that you have is the mechanic didn't just come and fix your car for you, so that the next time that your car breaks down, you have to go back to that mechanic to have them fix that part too. The important thing is that since you were there with the mechanic while they were going through their problem-solving process and while they were going through, and you learned a little bit of things about the engine and how it runs and different things that you can do or different things you can try, then you are now more able to fix that car if it does break down again. So the therapist, the counselor, is the mechanic in this metaphor. And of course, whenever you're talking about the car, that's some of the challenges that we face in our life. Cars like the vehicle of life, and you are, of course, yourself, learning how to fix different parts of it, to overcome different challenges, to kind of keep on moving. So that being said, I just thought it was a fun little thing, and it really describes what counseling does well. And, I think that this is something I didn't include in the article because I may write a different blog post about it for something, is that a lot of times therapy is compared to medication, and medication is very helpful for people that are going through different mental health issues. But in order to experience long-term relief and even better relief, a lot of times a medication can provide for different mental health issues. Therapy has better results as far as the research goes. And I think that's an important thing to bring up, because we as human beings, there is a certain poetic sense about us being able to help each other and us being able to get each other to that place where, you know, we're able to fix the car on our own. And sometimes we might need a little help, or we might need to call up and ask a few questions or anything. But we're here, we're helping each other. We as human beings, we are bonding and connecting creatures, and being able to do that in a nice and safe environment is always something that's helpful for getting us back on the path, staying on track with what we're trying to do. So this isn't all the ways that therapy is helpful, but I feel like this is a good chunk of information. And if you stuck with me this long, I appreciate you doing that. I appreciate you bearing with, some of the geeking out talk and everything like that. I tried to make it more practical and everything. And of course, if you have any questions or concerns or anything, or if you want to hear more, then please let me know and get in touch with me. I know that I have some ways you can get in contact with me on this page as well. And I hope that you enjoy the rest of the article, and I wish you well. This music is by Kevin MacLeod. It's called Lobby Time, and this is licensed by Creative Commons. Have a good day, everyone.